This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry, bringing to you the Short Talk Bulletin, published by the Masonic Service Association of North America every month since 1923. This, the Short Talk Bulletin podcast, is produced in cooperation with the MSA and is made possible with the generous support of a grant from the Grand Lodge AFNAM of Minnesota.
This is Brother John Rock of Solar Star Lodge number 14, Bath, Maine, bringing to you volume 82, number 10, October 2004. William George Storm, Architect and Mason, by Wallace MacLeod. This short talk bulletin was taken from the Grand Historian's Report to the Grand Lodge of Canada in the province of Ontario, July 2004. It is a very interesting story, dealing in part with visitation and recognition, both subjects of great interest today. Brother Wallace MacLeod is a member and past master of Mizpah Lodge No. 572, Toronto, Ontario, and of Kator Coronati Lodge No. 2076, London, England. He is the Grand Historian of the Grand Lodge of Canada in the province of Ontario. From time to time, as you wander about in various cities, you may encounter old buildings that have some Masonic symbols on their exterior. One might naturally assume that these structures were once Masonic halls or temples, but a few of them clearly were not. One of the latter is St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Toronto, at the southeast corner of King and Simcoe Streets. St. Andrew's is an immense and impressive building, and on the east and west exterior walls, just up under the eaves, are a series of more than 70 sculptured stone corbels or brackets bearing various images, such things as gargoyles, human faces, animal heads, stars, hearts, ladders, setting walls, letters, and numbers, and five of them have the square and compasses. One cannot help wondering what they are doing there. We might look at the life of the man who designed this church. William George Storm was born on October 29, 1826, at Burton-upon-Stather in Lincolnshire, England, where his father, Thomas Storm, was a builder. In 1830, the family moved to York, now Toronto, in Canada. His parents, who were devout Methodists, soon sent young William to Cobourg, 60 miles east, to be educated at Upper Canada Academy, which was founded by the Methodists in 1836. In 1838, the senior Storm actually erected the scaffold on which Samuel Lount and Peter Matthews, two of the men condemned to death for their part in the Upper Canada Rebellion of 1837, were hanged. When William returned home, he began to work with his father, and in 1845, he was badly hurt in a scaffolding accident, which claimed the life of his father's partner, Sheldon Ward. But young William was able to serve his apprenticeship as an architect, and in 1848 or 1849, he was given a job in the office of Frederick William Cumberland, possibly preparing the drawings for the Cathedral Church of St. James at the corner of King and Church Streets in Toronto. Storm continued his architectural career with distinction and was chosen as the first president of the Ontario Association of Architects in 1889. Two of his more striking commissions from this period are St. Andrew's Church on King Street, 1875, which started us on our quest, and Victoria College on the campus of the University of Toronto, 1892, which is built in the same Romanesque Revival style. But why talk about this architect in a Masonic context? Why are the square and compasses carved into the corbels of St. Andrew's Church? William George Storm was initiated into Freemasonry in St. Andrew's Lodge No. 1, now No. 16, Toronto, on June 11, 1850, at the age of 23. Only 1 year after he became a member of the firm of Cumberland and Storm in 1852, His senior partner, Frederick W. Cumberland, was initiated in the same lodge on August 16, 1853, at the age of 33. Both of them were active in the lodge. Cumberland was elected master for 1857, and Storm served as his successor in 1858 and again in 1859. Cumberland became District Deputy Grand Master of Toronto District in 1858. Storm was appointed Grand Superintendent of Work in 1859 and was elected as District Deputy Grand Master of Toronto in 1861. His report as District Deputy Grand Master includes one paragraph outlining a problem that had come to his attention. It reads, "Difficulties having arisen within this district during the past year in regard to the admission or rejection of colored persons claiming entrance to the lodges, I respectfully submit the question to the consideration of Grand Lodge as one entitled to and worthy of authoritative decision. I cannot think that the color of the man can in any degree impair the claims and privileges of the Mason, and yet it is essential that the law by which the admission of visiting brethren is restricted to those hailing from lodges duly recognized should be carefully adhered to. Exceptional cases of injustice may nevertheless occur, and thus it would seem that the general question should be inquired into, with a view to a settlement by the Grand Lodge of any doubts now existing in relation to it." The text is a little bit pompous and obscure, and even grammatically incorrect. Storm was an artist, not a writer, but it clearly alludes not to initiation into Masonry, but to the admission of visiting brethren. Evidently, African Canadians had attempted to visit one or more of the Toronto lodges, but had been excluded from admission because they came from unrecognized lodges. Storm explicitly requests that the question of recognition should be dealt with officially, in order to avoid unjust discrimination. Presumably, he's referring to members of the Widow's Son Grand Lodge of Free and Accepted Ancient York Masons, the original name of what is now the Prince Hall Grand Lodge of Ontario and Jurisdiction, which had been regularly constituted in Hamilton on August 25, 1856. It also had lodges in St. Catharines and in Western Ontario, and possibly one in Toronto, King Hiram, No. 4. Storm's request for an official review was timely and appropriate. After Victoria College moved to its new location in Toronto, three of its professors, who were Freemasons affiliated with St. Andrew's Lodge, No. 16, one might be tempted to conclude that they did so because they admired the new building and wished to show their admiration for its late architect by joining his lodge. They were Alfred Henry Reynard, 1840-1921, Dean of the Faculty of Arts and Professor of Modern Languages and English Literature, who affiliated from Shawinigan Lodge No. 49 in Three Rivers, Quebec, on October 11, 1892, and served as Master of the Lodge in 1899. John Burwash, 1842-1913, Professor of Homiletics and Pastoral Theology, who affiliated from Victoria Lodge No. 2 in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, on March 13, 1894, and served as Master of the Lodge in 1905, and Lewis Emerson Horning, 1858-1925, Professor of German and Old English, who affiliated from St. John's Lodge No. 17, Cobourg, Ontario, on January 14, 1896. In summary, W.G. Storm was a notable architect, and some of his monuments are still standing. He was also a devoted Freemason who actually had Masonic symbols engraved on at least one of his non-Masonic buildings, and he may have been responsible for bringing several distinguished members into his lodge. And he apparently recognized the paradox of not permitting visitation by Masons of a separate jurisdiction that was regularly constituted but not recognized. In the Grand Lodge proceedings for 1893, the District Deputy Grand Master of Toronto, District 11, in reporting Storm's passing, said that he was a devoted member of the craft, and to his death continued in active connection.
This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry. And this has been the Short Talk Bulletin Podcast, produced in cooperation with the Masonic Service Association of North America for the purpose of providing a common stock of vetted Masonic information to all of the constituent lodges of all of the member jurisdictions, and is made possible through a generous grant from the Grand Lodge AFNAM of Minnesota, who have been engaging and inspiring good men who believe in a supreme being to live according to the Masonic tenets of brotherly love, relief, and truth since 1853.